Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Strange time of the year, Nick. The Prep Bowl would be coming up on Friday in normal years. Instead, we got a season in of sorts, but it was just a different season. Joining us in the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline, somebody that's seen a lot of unbeaten seasons, but they usually ended up, they all ended up with a state championship until this year. Mike Grant, head coach at Eden Prairie. First of all, congratulations on an unbeaten season.
Well, thanks. It was a unique season, but, you know, it was a great year for our kids, and it was great being with those kids every day.
What you explained this last year, you know, not thinking there's going to be a season the last 6 months, and then having a season. I mean, if you were to write the book, how would you explain this season?
Yeah, I don't know. It was so up and down. Again, really not thinking we were going to have a season, in August, and then all of a sudden they say, yep. Excuse me. All of a sudden they said, yep, we're going to go, but we're going to go, you're going to practice first, and then, no, now we're going to play games, and now we're going to play six games, and now the season is going to be over in a week. And having said all that, I think what we were as a team and as a coaching staff, we're just grateful that we had this opportunity, because we don't know what March would have brought. And so to be able to be around these kids every day was really an honor, and it was really one of my most enjoyable years, really, with the type of kids that we had.
How did the kids feel about it when it ended the other night? I mean, was it a great celebration? Was it what?
You know, I think the kids were excited, because on Wednesday, you felt like the governor might announce that night that we're done right then.
Yeah, a lot of people thought the season was over, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, and so there was huge disappointment in the room as we talked about it with our kids, and just a real sadness, to be honest with you, that it would end that way. But then to say no, we're going to have one more game, the kids were excited. It was a really good football game. Prior Lake played really well, so it was an exciting game, and getting a chance to win that game and ending it on your home field and with your parents there and everything. It was great. The kids were emotional that the season was over, but I think they felt good about the season.
When did you figure out that, hey, obviously everybody put their thinking caps on. When did you figure out that, hey, we're slated for Saturday, but we can play on Friday? How did that come together? Was that on Wednesday, or when did it come together for you?
Well, I think when he announced that Saturday was going to be the last day, I think everybody, I think every single team, I think, played on Friday that didn't have COVID issues. Everybody played. I mean, you look, there were, 30 games or something on Friday night and all over the state. So I think people, I guess it was, Thursday morning the final plans came together to play on Friday night. And, some teams were even ended up playing teams that they hadn't practiced to get ready for all
week. Yeah.
And then had a day to get ready for somebody else. So, I think high school football is about giving kids opportunities and giving them a chance to be out there. And I think everybody agreed that, if you can have that opportunity to finish the season, we wanted to do that for them.
You know, Mike, you're also the activities director, at least for the here and now. First of all, was that a tough decision to retire from activities director starting in January?
We've been talking about it for probably 2 years, maybe even 3 years, going back, with our administration and, trying to find the right time and the right, situation. And we had a new principal a year ago, so I wanted to stay and work with him. And, And then when the COVID came last year, that kind of said, well, maybe we should wait, you know, with the transition. And I don't know, but you can keep putting it off. So, you know, yeah, it's a very emotional decision. I don't know, people that retire, I try to explain to people, when you've committed, you know, 43 years of your life to education and to 29 to Eden Prairie, and you know, how much I love Eden Prairie and how much I love, you know, our kids in representing Eden Prairie, it is a hard decision, but it's also the right decision. And there's lots of things for me to do, and you know, I'll continue to coach football for a while, and I think I'll enjoy that freedom to be able to, you know, not be rushing up to the cabin to go turkey hunting on a day, or you know, or rushing driving. How many years I've driven and gotten to the deer camp at 2 a.m. You know,
yeah,
or you know, turkey hunting that night before where. You know, I think it's a good decision for me.
Well, you know, forget football just for a second, just the activities director. What do you miss? What will you miss the most about that? Because, you know, coaching is so much different. You're on the field, you're affecting a play, and being an administrator, it's like, oh, man, that game got canceled, or, oh, I got to hire a coach. I mean, it's a whole different almost thought process. What would you miss about an activities director role?
You know, what I will miss most is, you know, I haven't done it 19 years at Eden Prairie, which is a long run for an activities director. I don't think many go that long.
Is that because of burnout, or what is usually the reason?
Well, probably a little bit of burnout, but I think a lot of people didn't become ADs until they were older too. So,
oh yeah,
you know, they retire and get out. But you know, to do it 19 years, I've hired almost every coach at Eden Prairie. And what I'm going to miss is kind of that pride that you feel, and I guess I'll still feel it. But if you're at the, you know, shaking Lee Smith's hand at Mariucci Arena, you know, when they win the section hockey, I'll miss that. You know, yeah, where you work with coaches all that time, whether it be, you know, at softball with Dan Rubishko, our softball coach that I hired years ago, and to be sitting in the dugout last year during the state tournament at softball. Those are the things you really miss that make the job really, you know, fun. So I'll miss those things.
Did you like coaching coaches, so to speak? Were they intimidated by you at all because you had the championships, or is that the best credibility and best way to go about you? Because when you speak, obviously you're speaking from a different place than a lot of activities directors. You're speaking from a place of been there, done that.
Well, and I'm not sure I'm the, you know, I know my style of being an AD might have been different than others. I'm not a micromanager. I think we hire good people and we let them coach. And I try not to, you know, I'm there to support them and help them to give them advice if they ask for it. I think I kind of learned that from my dad, you know. You give advice when you're asked for it, but sometimes coaches just have to go out and do what they do. I think we got to do a really good job of hiring the right people, and then you got to kind of let them go. I don't know. I don't think people are intimidated by it, but I also wasn't one that had to be standing on the, standing on the court and everyone seeing me. I had enough success in football that I didn't feel like I had to be out there, when our girls basketball, you know, would win a big game. I didn't have to be standing out on the court, having everyone see me out there. I could sit in the background, watch the game, walk out the back door, and feel pretty good about it.
What do you think the definition of a good high school coach is, Mike?
Well, it's more art than it is science. And I think that, there's areas that I look for people, but I think more than anything, it's that ability to have that interpersonal relationships with a whole group of people. A head coach now at a high school like Eden Prairie, it's a full-time job. And I tell those coaches, this is never, it's not just coach 3 months like it used to be maybe 40 years ago, you know, or 30 years ago, whatever. Now you're in charge of youth programs. You're in charge of development. You're in charge of fundraising. You're in charge of equipment. It's a full job. And so a head coach in a school like Eden Prairie, they have to be pretty diverse in their skills. But more importantly, they got to be able to, I think you got to be able to sit down with a kid and have a conversation and even a tough conversation about why they aren't playing or maybe why they didn't start or maybe why they got cut, and be able to have those conversations with kids. And the kids trust you that, and they believe you that, you know, why something happened. I think that's important. Certainly you got to know the game. You got to be able to organize. You have to have a vision, all those things. But in the end, it's the ability to have relationships and to hire good assistants who may have a relationship with kids that you don't have, you know, because you can't, your personality won't fit every kid, but you want to have assistants that will help fill that gap of those kids that maybe you don't connect with.
Is that easy to tell when you watch a program, whether they have that or not?
Well, I used to laugh because I used to walk into a gym and one of my assistant coaches in girls basketball used to say, hey, you know, aren't you working? You got nothing to do. And I always wanted to say, well, this is the work, because I think when you walk into a gym, or whether it be our, you know, and you've been to our school, the gymnastics gym, with, you know, after school, you can walk in the activity center, the gymnastics gym, the wrestling room, the basketball courts, everything, and you can walk in there. And I think, and at least I always felt like I could get a feel for how that program is in about 5 minutes, not even five, but 2 minutes, of whether those kids are having fun, feel relaxed, are enjoying being there. Whether, I don't care what sport. And that comes from the head coach.
The culture.
The culture of that program, exactly.
So when they shut it down last year in the spring, something that, you know, everybody hopes they never have to do again, and right now, of course, we're in a stoppage, how did you counsel coaches and athletes at that time, or couldn't you even, because nobody was in school?
Well, that is the hard part, is you're right. People, we didn't have that opportunity to visit with the students, for sure. And so we tried to help the coaches, you know, talk about the, you know, the how they would communicate with kids and continue to have contact with kids about what's going on. And certainly there was great disappointment. There was disappointment as we end. I mean, I was at the girls' state basketball tournament watching our team play in the consolation round when they came at halftime and said, well, this is it. This is the last game. Win or lose, you're done. And you're sitting there in the stands going, all right, we're done. Well, how do you tell the girls that? Same time we're going to play, you know, with our undefeated basketball team that Friday night for to go to state and hopefully win state, and to tell them that they're done. That's where the coach has to build that relationship with kids over time. That when they walk into that meeting and have that conversation, that those kids, you know, look at them and trust them.
And as difficult as that was, I mean, basketball got off relatively easy compared to spring sports, who had nothing.
Well, right. And that's what I always said. You know, our basketball team, as tough as it was, they got to play 28 games. But, you know, baseball got none. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they didn't get to do any of it. And so, yeah, so you're dealing with two different things, you know, two different situations, and you got to talk that through with your coaches, and you got to give them facts and give them information, and you know, try to stay out of the editorializing about what's right or wrong, or should we or shouldn't we. But here's where we're at, and this is where we're going.
What's, you know, I asked definition of a good coach. What's the definition of a good activities director, and is it paramount that they've spent a fair amount of time coaching or not?
You know, I don't know that answer. I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously you think about that when you're an AD as long as we have, and I've obviously been around a lot of really, really good ADs in the Lake Conference, and I think they're all a little bit different. I think that the biggest thing is communication and being able to have that conversation with your coaches, whether it's a tough conversation about something, you know, because coaches make mistakes and do stupid things, just like we all do. I mean, we'll say something we shouldn't have said or meant it a different way, and so you got to have those conversations. You have conversations about, you know, with parents that might be upset with them, and how do you guide them through. I feel, you know, like one of my strengths was working with coaches because who are struggling for a year or two because maybe there's a group of parents that came through or kids came through that were really a challenge for them, and you know, they might be thinking of quitting, or they might, you know, be thinking, why am I doing this for, you know, about $1 an hour or what they get. And so to work with them and help them get things back on track, I think, And then I think really being honest with them and telling them, this is exactly where it's at. This is where you're at. And we got to figure something out from here and, you know, to be able to work with them to make it better.
Is it common that you get correspondence from parents that will go past the coach right to you, or maybe they even talk to the coach and aren't satisfied with an answer, or is that uncommon or common for you and other ADs?
I wouldn't say it's common, but it's not uncommon.
But it's not uncommon, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't happen every day, for sure.
Yep.
And it doesn't happen every week. But, you know, as you get into the beginning of hockey season here,
You know, and I just die a thousand deaths for coaches that have to cut. You know, I just do.
Oh, I know it. It's really true. It's the toughest thing. I've had many a talk conversation with parents who have come in after their son. I mean, you think about in boys hockey, and I say this with all respect for all these parents that work so hard in boys hockey, but they've been with a group of kids since they're in third or fourth grade, right? All the parents have been together every weekend, wherever they've traveled. They've gone everywhere. All these kids have played together all that time. And then maybe their senior year, they get cut. Well, not only is the kid cut, but the parent feels cut.
Yeah.
Because now their whole group of friends they have hung out every winter with, you know, and every weekend for all those years, they're like outcasts of that.
Yeah, and by the way, they don't stop playing games, so you get to hear about how good the team is doing or whatever, even though you're not part of it.
Yeah, it feels to them like they're just cut, that
yep.
they're out, you know, because now they don't go to the game. They sit and every weekend, that's all they've done, and they're out. And so I try to counsel parents, and I try to counsel kids, too, you know, and to bring them in and say, okay, how are you feeling? You know, if a hockey player gets cut, how, you know, if I know that they're struggling or it's been a problem, how are your parents doing? A lot of times they say, you know what? My parents don't know anything, you know?
Yeah.
And they go, I'm embarrassed if they said anything. But then we talk about how they're feeling because it can't be easy, you know? It can't be easy, you know? And I'm not going to miss those conversations. But, you know, if you're a good AD, I believe, and I always have said this, that, like, even hiring a coach, when we get down to the finals of a basketball job or a hockey, any sport, we'll have two or three really, really good candidates. And have to call those second and third place.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and they're really good. But they don't feel really good when you tell them they're not good enough, right?
Yeah, well, they go, well, why didn't I get the job? You just told me how, you know, because I'll always start out on a positive, like, I appreciate you applying. We were really impressed with you, you know. Well, then why didn't I get the job?
Mm-hmm.
you don't want to go like comparing one person to another and bringing up who got the job, because I never would do that. But, you know, you have to say, you know, we just had to make a decision, and, you know, we're making the best decision we can for the person we believe. But that's the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing is to call those people who really want the job, who probably would be really good, and to tell them they didn't get the job.
Yeah, and you're not 100% sure you hired the right person, but that's just somebody had to be hired. Mike, we could go on all night. Hopefully sometime we can. If we ever get COVID figured out, we'll bring you in studio and we'll talk about all these issues that need to be discussed.
More importantly, how was hunting season?
Don't bring it up, man. You got more games in than I've been out hunting so far. So,
hey, I shot a nice buck. We got a few nice bucks up at my place and got to spin the opener with my dad, so that was special.
Cool.
And he was there. He's up in Wisconsin in his little heated deer stand every night now.
Awesome.
I think hunting deer, so he's enjoying that.
Well, I had great success in North Dakota when I went. I just didn't get to go enough. You know the old deal, yeah. But I will talk to you soon. Thank you
so much,
and congratulations again.
All right, great, Mike. Good talking to you.
You bet, Mike Grant. Interesting stuff on that is, you know, that is a people skills business is what it is, isn't it? Coaching and managing people. Holy cow.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.